Well, this morning we are going to be continuing in our series of messages on personal growth. This morning I have entitled the message, Faith Without Encouragement. There are times in our lives that we struggle and that our faith wavers from time to time. And when difficult situations arise, when problems seem to exist in our lives, we often ask, God, do you really care? Does it really matter to you? Does my life really matter? Do my prayers actually make a difference? This week, Kathy received some unsettling news once again. Her brother, who we've been praying for, has fallen off the wagon again. And he has been on the wagon and off the wagon and on the wagon and off the wagon. And the last time he fell off, we were debating and looking at maybe having him come live with us because it would be like a boot camp. He would have no freedom or money. He wouldn't be able to go out and buy anything. Well, he is today in a hospital, and he's experiencing some mental difficulties as well. And we really believe it's due to all the alcohol that he's consumed throughout his life of being an alcoholic. And so his wife of some 20-some years has basically said, I've been his enabler for 20 years, and that has to stop. See, he used to have a job, but he knows that if he just quits, that his wife will support him and that he will have all the time that he needs to drink. And it's just one day after another of consuming alcohol, and that's what he lives for. And he's gotten so low that he says, this thing has me beat. I can't beat it. I can't whip it. I can't walk away from it. I just want to curl up and die and go to heaven. Kathy's sister calls her and says, Kathy, I pray for him every day. I pray for him a lot every day. I know that you pray for him every day. I know that our two other brothers, Bob and Bill, both pray for him. I know that Craig prays for him. I know that your entire family prays for him. Our entire family prays for him. But what good are our prayers doing? God doesn't seem to be answering our prayers. What good are our prayers doing? Do our prayers really make a difference? And I had to share with Kathy. I said, Vicki is misunderstanding the purpose of prayer, number one. Prayer is not a war of wills. Prayer is not trying to get God to do something that he doesn't want to do. Prayer is not usurping our will upon God's will so that our will might be done. Prayer is all about accomplishing his will in our lives, making our lives sensitive to his direction, to his guidance. I know that you've been praying that God will intercede, that God will do something that will turn him around. Could it be? Could it be that God is going to use this moment when David is his lowest? Could it be that God is going to use this time to touch him so that his life will be turned around and he will be freed from the bondage of alcoholism through the presence and the power of Jesus Christ? Could it be that God has tried in the past, but that David has to sink to the lowest in order to see the highest? Could it be that God is just waiting to use this time in order to touch his life? Many times when we come to trying times in our lives, we ask these questions in the stillness of the night, when the silence is deafening. We wonder, God, do you truly care? This morning in our text, this text is not used very often by preachers or pastors. For the simple reason, at first glance, it appears that Jesus is quite insensitive. It appears that Jesus is uncaring, that he has no compassion. Many times when people needed a healing or a touch, they would come to him and he would encourage them, go and wash in the pool of Siloam and you'll get your sight back. Come and do this. And he would encourage them to go and do and to come and do, and they would be healed. Because he would tell them what they needed to do. But this poor lady had a daughter that was vexed by some demon. And Jesus did not encourage her. Jesus actually rebuked her at one point. And we have to ask ourselves the questions, why? See, I believe that Jesus did this not for her benefit, but for the benefit of his disciples that were walking with him, because they were so unloving, they were so uncaring, they had no compassion. This was a bother. So I believe that Jesus used this lady as an example to his disciples of what true faith should look like, because true faith needs no encouragement. I'd like to have you look with me this morning to Matthew, the 15th chapter. I believe Jesus wanted to teach his disciples compassion and love because they had very little of it. Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 21. Please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's precious word. Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went there and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries after us." And he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not right to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you will." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you, Father, that you use others to build our faith. You use others to bless us and to help us to understand. And Father God, we thank you that many times others will actually pay the price for our unbelief, for our sense of and loss of compassion. Father, we pray today that every heart that is here will be touched by your almighty hand, and that we would never leave this place the way we came in. And Father, we pray that as you speak to us, we might be able to respond to you as you have guided us. And we thank you now and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The first thing I believe that God wants us to see is the fact that he refused her. He refused her. Look at the main text once again in verse 22 and 23. He says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she cries after us." He refused her. See, this was the cry from a mother. This mother had a pain that she could not fix because her daughter was vexed with a devil. Her daughter had something that she could not fix herself. And it's a horrible situation every time a mother, every time a father is put in the situation where they can't relieve the pain of their child. I remember when Kathy and I were young parents. Our eldest son, Nick, was 3 or 4, something of that nature, when he had his hernia. Yeah. He'd be playing and all of a sudden he'd start crying and his stomach hurt, and we thought it was just growing pains. I told him to settle down and take it easy and everything would be just fine. Little did we know when we took him to the doctor that he had a hernia. Just a small hernia. How does a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old get a hernia like that? I mean, I didn't have him lifting, doing labor or anything. But he had a hernia that required surgery. And so the doctors wanted to do surgery, and here's this little boy sitting on the bed in the hospital with tears running down his face, wanting to know why. Why is this happening? Mommy? Daddy? Why is the doctor going to cut me open? What are we to tell a child when we can't fix the problem? And see, this was BC, before I was a Christian. So yeah, I had a faith problem. I had no faith whatsoever. What do you tell a child when you can't fix the problem? This was the cry from a mother. Her daughter had a problem that she could not fix. And so she went to the one that she believed could fix it. So this was a cry not only from a mother, but this was a cry for mercy. This was a cry for mercy. She said, "Have mercy on me, thou son of David. Have mercy on me." She wanted mercy for her child because there was nothing she could do to fix the problem. See, we all need mercy, amen? Come on now. It's rainy out. Doesn't need to be sleepy out. Okay? We all need mercy. And mercy is on the other side of the coin that God calls love, because grace is over here, mercy is over here. Mercy is not receiving what we justly and rightly deserve. We all deserve an eternity in hell. Amen? We deserve an eternity in a place called hell, in eternal pain, eternal anguish, because we are sinners, we're born sinners, and because we're born sinners, we sin. See, we just don't become sinners when we sin. We're already sinners when we're born. So because we're sinners, we sin. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So God gives us mercy. He doesn't give us what we deserve. No, he gives us grace. And grace is on the other side of that coin that he calls love. Grace is receiving something that we don't deserve. We don't deserve heaven, but God is gracious in giving us something that we don't deserve. This poor lady's crying out for mercy. God, I know I've wronged. God, I know I've done things I shouldn't do. God, I need your mercy. See, when we're guilty, and our defense attorney knows we're guilty, and the prosecuting attorney knows we're guilty, and all of the jury knows that we're guilty, and the judge knows that we're guilty, we don't want grace. We want mercy. We fall on the mercy of the court. Don't give me what I deserve. She's crying out to Jesus for mercy. Be merciful. Don't let my child suffer any longer. Be merciful, O Lord. But this was also a cry for the Messiah. Notice she said, be merciful, thou son of David. She recognized him as Messiah. She recognized her own inability and that he was the only one that could fix her problem. We live in a society that recognizes that there's good things in the world and bad things in the world. They recognize that there's good things in their lives and there's bad things in their lives. And yeah, they do a few bad things from time to time. Yeah, they don't always tell the truth. Yeah, they take a few things from work. They pilfer a few things. Yeah, they covet their neighbor's wife. Yeah, they do some of the things that they know are not pleasing to God. But hopefully, through all the good things they do, that will overbalance the bad things they do. And hopefully God will catch them on a good day when they go to die and they'll go to heaven because they've done more good than bad. And we live in that kind of a society. We live in that kind of society that believes that we have the ability to do the good things. And when one came to him and said, good teacher, what shall I do in order to inherit eternal life? He said, there's none good. Why are you calling me good? There's only one that's good, and that's God. She cried out for the Messiah because she knew that he was the only answer for her. He was the only answer for her daughter. That's why she was crying out for the Messiah. But more than that, we see that this was also a cry by his men. The disciples were uncaring. They had no compassion within them at all. Jesus, when he did not answer her at all and just kept on walking, She's saying, have mercy on me, thou son of David. My daughter is vexed with the devil, and he answered her not a word. And the disciples are walking with him. And because he answered her not a word, she started to cry after them. Oh, please, please help me, Matthew. Please help me, John. Peter, please help me. And the disciples actually said, Lord, send her away. She's crying after us. You know, it's not convenient always to do the Lord's work. Amen. Sometimes it's inconvenient to stop on your way of going to do something that was on your list to do. And all of a sudden, God intervenes and there's someone that has a need. Well, I just hadn't planned on that today, Lord. It's just not their day today, is it? The disciples besought Jesus, just send her away because she's crying after us. Well, secondly, we need to see that he reminded her. Look at verses 24 and 25. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Notice his answer. But he said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's a true statement. Jesus said, I only came for the house of Israel. You're not one of them. And he just continued to walk away. The disciples saw this. Now, why would Jesus be that insensitive, that uncaring, that unloving? Why? See, I believe that he was trying to teach his disciples how to be caring, how to be loving, how to be compassionate. I think he wanted some compassion to rise up within them. Notice her answer. Look at verse 25. Sorry for coughing in your ear. Verse 25. But he answered, excuse me, then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She continued to worship him, even though he said, I've only come for one purpose, and that one purpose is for the lost sheep of Israel. I've only come for that purpose. That's the only thing. This is beyond that. She just continued to worship. Because true faith is not based on feelings. Did you hear what I just said? True faith is not based upon feelings. If she was ruled by her feelings, she would have felt rejected. She would have felt like she was ostracized. She would have felt like turning around and leaving. But she continued to worship. Why? Because faith that needs no encouragement is built upon fact. And the fact is, she had faith in Jesus Christ. That's who she was worshiping. And that's why she was worshiping. See, many times we don't know how God is going to fix something. We don't know what God is doing in the life of David. But we don't have to have all the answers as long as we know the one that does. Amen? And that's Jesus Christ. And so she worshiped him. Oh, I need to get a little drink here. Well, we're halfway through. Normally, I'd be closing and bringing you back tonight for the rest of the 2 points. So you guys are going to have to listen fast. Okay? Thirdly, he rebuked her. He rebuked her. Look with me, please, at verses 26 and 27. But he answered and said, it's not right to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Wow. Look at his statement. He says, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. It's not right to take bread out of the mouth of your children and give it to the dog and say, oh, 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 wait a second, we're going to give that one to the dog too. Oh, nope, nope, not for you, that's for the dog. It's not right to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. Wow. What a rebuke. See, he is classifying the children of Israel as the children, and he's classifying her as the dog. Ouch. You're just a dog. You're all dogs. Hello, you're Gentiles. You're dogs. Amen? I'm a dog. Roof. Roof. So he says, it's not right to take the bread out of the children's mouths and give it to the dogs. That was his answer to her. How repugnant is that? What a rebuke. That ought to turn all of us away from Christ. Didn't do it for her. You know why? Because true faith stands with truth. Notice her answer. Notice verse 27. And she said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She came and said, you're right. You're absolutely right. I totally 100% agree with you. It's not right to take the bread out of the children's mouths that they should normally have and give it to the dogs. But in the process of the children eating, crumbs are going to fall and the dogs get a little bit. All I want is a crumb. All I want is a little bit. I don't need a whole meal. I just need a little bit. I just need you to touch my daughter because she's vexed with a demon. I don't need much. I just need a little bit. I just need a crumb. Wow. See, true faith is not based on feelings. It's based on fact, but it's also based on truth. I know that many times when I've been praying and heaven seems to be silent, God will say, Craig, there's this one area of your life that I want to have control over. There's this one area of your life that I want to touch and make a difference in your life. There's this one area that I want to make a difference in your life, because when I've made a difference in your life, you're going to see my direction and my direction is going to be clear to you. Makes all the difference in the world when we yield ourselves to him. And that's what she was saying. Truth, Lord, I agree. I agree, but more than that, look at her stand. Notice what she said, her reasoning behind that. Notice verse 27, and she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Wow. True faith always stands with truth. And when God touches an area of your life and said, this is an area that I want to work on. This is an area that I want to touch so that your life resembles the character of Jesus Christ. See, I don't always have the joy that I should have. Would you agree with that? You don't have the joy always that you should have. How about the love? Do you always have the love that you're supposed to have? No, not always. Well, what is the fruit of the Spirit? But love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. The law cannot produce those things in your life. But the Holy Spirit can. And see, there are times that I'm anxious. There's times that I'm wanting to do things in my own strength. And God says, back off. I'll take care of it in my time. Faith stands with truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. See, many times we think truth is a concept, but it's not. It's the person of Jesus Christ. So true faith stands with truth, who is Jesus Christ. Well, lastly, we need to see that he rewards her. Look with me in verse 28, please. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Wow. He honored her faith. Her faith was honored. See, the disciples were uncaring. They didn't have the compassion that they were supposed to have. And she bore the brunt so that they could learn. Sometimes other people pay the highest price for our lack of love, for our lack of compassion, for our lack of faith. Sometimes other people pay that price. And she paid that price through the rebuke of Jesus. But ultimately, her faith was honored. He said, great is your faith. Why? Because it was a faith that needed no encouragement. It was a faith that didn't need to be picked up and dusted off every week. It was a faith that when rebuked, continued to worship, continued to look to him for his help, for his direction. Her faith was honored. But more than that, her family was healed. Her daughter was healed from that very hour. Her family was healed because of her faith. Now that's strange, isn't it? That's strange that a daughter would be healed because of the mother's faith. Remember, the guys that let the paralyzed guy down from the ceiling as Jesus was in the house teaching. And there were four that held ropes, and he was on a litter. He was on a litter there, and they were lowering him down into the Bible study. And the Bible says that Jesus looked up and saw their faith and said, you're healed. What? It wasn't because the paralyzed guy's faith. These guys lowered him down because they knew that he needed to be in the presence of Jesus. This girl was healed because of her mama's faith. Wow. See, I believe that when we have a faith that needs no encouragement, that there are others that are around us that are blessed. Others will be blessed because of our faith. Because God wants you and I to be different from the world. He doesn't want us to have to be picked up and dusted off every single Sunday. No, he wants us to have a faith that needs no encouragement. Now, Finally, her future is heaven. Wow. Her faith was honored, her family was healed, and now her future has changed. It's now heaven. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a faith that needs no encouragement? What is it that God is trying to work in your life or do in your life in order to reach someone else? Because before he can work through you, he has to work in you. And God is working in each and every one of our lives. And as we yield to him, as he works his solutions into our lives, as he implants his peace that passes all human understanding into our lives, we realize that he is the one that's in control and it's not us. And as we pray, our will is bent to his will. We now know his direction. We now know what he's desiring. And all we have to do is to yield to him as he speaks to our hearts. Amen. Do you have a faith that needs no encouragement? If our worship team will come, I ask you this morning, what is God speaking to your heart? What one thing is God trying to touch in your life to make a difference that your life will reflect the person of Jesus Christ? You're the only one that can answer that. But you can only answer that through prayer as he guides you. So today we're going to have a song of invitation. Maybe there's someone in your family that needs to have a touch and your faith is required. Maybe you need to have that touch. Today is your opportunity to